Okay, welcome back to our Daf a Week class. We are up to Daf Yud Gimel, but we're starting on Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis. We are at the, thank you Mark for pointing it out, we are at the second of the widest lines, the end of the line where it says Machon. So if you remember, last week we had a Machlokas regarding how many levels or how many specific heavens are there. One opinion said that there were two heavens, and another opinion said that there were seven heavens. The Gemara went on to sort of explain what each of these seven heavens are, and so I think we're up to the sixth one. So the sixth one was called Machon. So what was in Machon? So Machon, Shebo, Otsros, Sheleg, Otsros, Barad, in the heaven of Machon, you had in it, it was like a storehouse. That's where they keep the snow, and that's where they keep the, it's a storehouse for the snow and a storehouse for the hail. The Alias Telalim Ra'im, and it's like an upper chamber where they store the destructive dew, the evil dew that hangs out up there. Va'alias agalim, and it's like an upper attic where they store some sort of like beads of water that can cause damage. V'chedra shel sufa usara, and it's a chamber, it's a room where there's like a whirlwind and like a storm. In other words, it's like the weather chamber. It's the weather heaven. Ara shel kitor, and there's a cave of a vapor in there. Vidalso san esh, and the doors, I guess, that go to the heaven. These doors are, or maybe the doors within the heaven are made of fire. Shenamar, the pasuk says, Yiftach Hashem lecha es otsro hatov. That Hashem says, that Hashem will open for you the storehouse of goodness. So what the pasuk over here is explaining, excuse me, is that the pasuk that we have in Devarim, basically it's saying that Hashem is going to open up a storehouse of goodness. That must mean that God also has a storehouse of badness, right? That's why it says specifically the storehouse of goodness, right? If there was only a storehouse of goodness, he would just call it the Otsaro. But the fact that the pasuk says the Otsaro Hatov means that there's a storehouse of good and there's a storehouse of bad. This is evidently what we just described. Machon is the storehouse of all the bad. Hani barakia isnehu, hani ba'ara isnehu. So the Gemara says these things are on are in the Rakia. I thought these things are on the actual land. Dichter, the pasuk says Halolu es Hashem min haaretz taninim b'chol tohamos. Right, that the pasuk says so we praise Hashem from the land. The sea giants b'chol tohamos and the watery depths. So ish ubarad and then fire and hail sheleg and snow v'kitor in this vapor ruach sar. The stormy wind, Oseh Devaro. They do God's bidding. So in other words, if these things are on the Aretz and they are doing God's bidding, that must mean that they are not located in heaven. They're located on the land. That's how they're doing God's bidding, min haaretz, from the land. So Amarav, so how do you make sense of this this contradiction? Amarav Yehuda, Amarav David bikesh aleim rachmim v'horidan la'aretz. So David says, David said he asked for mercy, for divine mercy. Regarding these weather events, that Hashem should bring them down to the land. Amar lefanav ribono shel olam, that David said to Hashem, Lo el chefetz rasha ata lo yagurecha ra. So the pasuk means that you are not a god who desires like wickedness and like evil isn't like with you. So in other words, to have these evil and these devilish and wicked weather events living in heaven to be near God, that doesn't make any sense. So God, take them out of heaven and put them on the land. So that was how David gave an explanation to Hashem to do it, and so or an argument to Hashem, and then he brought it down to the land. And I guess the point is that they're not located in the land, in the heavens, which means they have a little bit less power and force than they on the land. Okay, on the land. So tzadik ata Hashem lo yagor. Right, Sadek Ata Hashem lo yagor b'megur chara. Right. So right, the Gemara is explaining it. So meaning David was saying, Hashem, you're righteous, so you can't have you can't have evil living with you, and so that's why these evil weather phenomenon have to be not in heaven but on the land. Uminalan ikre shemayim. So fine. So now that we got through all that, how do we even know that Machon is actually considered a shemayim? Who says? So dichtiv, the pasuk says, v'atatish ma'ashemayim Machon shiftach Machon. Machon Shifticha. Right? The pasuk says that that in you will hear. You will hear the heavens from Machon, your dwelling place. Meaning, in other words, Shamayim is compared to Machon, and therefore Machon is a Shamayim. Okay, the seventh heaven is called Aravos, which means like plains, like Arve Moav, the plains of Moav. So Arvos. So what lives on the seventh heaven? Shebot Sedek Mishpat Vitzdaka. So in the plains or in the seventh heaven, there is Sedek, which is like righteousness. Mishpat, which is rather good, justice and law, it's stuck in like a tzedakah, charity. What else is there? Ginzei Chaim. Hello, Sam. Ginzei Chaim is located there, where on Yud Beis Amud Beis, about 7 or 8 lines up in the bottom. Where was I? Right, in the Arvos we have Tzedek, Mishpat, and Tzedakah, Ginzei Chaim, some sort of a treasury of life, Ginzei Shalom, a treasury of peace, Ginzei Bracha, a treasury of blessing, V'Neshmasan Shel Tzadikim, the souls of the righteous, V'Ruchos V'Neshamos She'atil Hibaros, and the spirits and the souls of those people who are going to be created in the future, V'Tal She'atil HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Achios B'Meisim, and the dew that Hashem is going to bring down to awaken the dead in the future for Tchias HaMesim. Okay, so how do we know all these things are located in this seventh heaven? Tzedek u'mishpat, tichtiv tzedek u'mishpat machon kisecha. That it says that righteousness and justice are like the foundation of your kiseh, which means that tzedek u'mishpat are located in the heaven in the heaven where the throne is, which is Aravos or something like that. Tzedakah dechtev. How do we know that tzedakah is in Aravos? Because it says v'yilbash tzedakah kisharan, right? Because it says that you will wear righteousness like armor, and therefore, who's gonna wear it? Hashem is gonna be wearing it. If Hashem is wearing it, that must mean that it's in the Aravos. And then Ginzei Chaim, if the treasury of life, Tichtiv Kiim Chamikor Chaim, that with you Hashem is the source of life, Viginzei Shalom, and the treasuries of peace, Tichtiv Vayikra Lo Hashem Shalom, right? And they call to Hashem, or Hashem said to him, like the peace should be. Vayikra lo Hashem Shalom. You call to Hashem for peace. And so again, peace is with Hashem. So that's, you know, the treasury of peace is with Hashem. Vigenze bracha, and the storehouses of bracha, the treasuries of bracha. Dechtiv yisa bracha meis Hashem, that he will receive a bracha from with Hashem. Okay, neshmasan shel tzadikim. How do you know that neshamos of tzadikim are there? Dechtiv haisa nefesh adoni tzurar b'tzura chayim es Hashem elokecha. As it says, and behold, or the soul of my master is bound up in the bond of life with Hashem your God, right? So you see that the souls of the righteous are with Hashem, which means in the Aravos, ruchos v'neshamos shatil hibaros, and the spirits and the souls that are to be created. How do you know they're in this heaven? Tichtiv ki ruach milfanaya tof v'neshamos ani asisi, right? That the pasuk says when the spirit that envelopes them is from before me. And I made their souls, meaning that these souls that are going to be made are near with Hashem. And the dew that Hashem is going to bring down to bring back the dead, to do Tchias HaMeisim. How do you know that's there? Dichtiv, the pasuk says, Geshim nedabos tanif elokim nachlasecha, v'nila ata konanta, right? There's some sort of a generous rain. Did you lavish, O Hashem, right? When your heritage was weary, you established it firmly. And so again, this idea that some sort of a rain will bring people back. Okay, fine. So now that we went through all of that, we're going to list some more things that are there. And I understand, right? Just to realize that we're explaining these things, but I challenge anyone to actually understand what we're explaining, because it's just very esoteric. And believe me, I don't know if anyone looked ahead, but the rest of the daf gets only more complicated and esoteric, and we'll do our best to explain this as we can. But these are very lofty concepts that are hard to really wrap our heads around. So what else is in this heaven of Aravos? So Sham Ofanim Vesrafim Vachayos Hakodesh Umalachei Ashari. So here we have the angels that are called Ofanim, the angels that are called Seraphim. Cherubim and the angels, the holy Chayos and the ministering angels. Again, what's the difference? Fine, not for right now. It's who knows exactly. The Kisei HaKavod and Hashem's the Kisei HaKavod Melech El Chai V'Kayam El Chai Ram B'Nisa Shechina Aleihem and also Hashem's Kisei HaKavod, his throne of glory, right? Hashem who's eternal, who's living and is raised above everyone, so his throne is on there. I think the Bach takes out the word Baravos. It's not part of the original Girsash and Amar. How do we know these things are in the Aravos? Because it says Sulu LaRochi of Baravos. Beishimo, because the pasuk says, "Extol him who rides on plains with his name." Right. So Uminal and Ikre Shemayim. And so how do we know that Aravos is called Shemayim? It's called one of the heavens because Asya Rechiva Rechiva. Because we have Xeris Shava. We have Xeris Shava from the words Rechiva Rechiva. We just quoted the word Rochev. We just quoted the word rochev in a pasuk related to the aravos, and we have a word rochev in another pasuk because k'siv ha'chasolu larochev aravos. Regarding the heaven of aravos, we have the word rochev. The k'siv ha'sam rochev shemayim be'azracha you're going to be Okay, right. So the pasuk is basically it has Shemayim and it has Rochev in it. Be'ezracha to help you. V'choshech v'anan v'arafel makifin oso and darkness and clouds and other darkness is surrounding him. Shenemar yisa choshech sisro sviosav sukasu chasheichas mayim avish chakim. Right. The pasuk says that he made darkness his concealment around him, his shelter. The darkness of water, the clouds of heaven. So basically, sorry, we just did two things here. So number one, we explained that that the Aravos are called the heaven because of Zegzer Shava. We have one pasuk in which we have the word Rochev regarding Aravos, and we have another pasuk in which we have the word Rochev with Shemayim. So therefore, since one pasuk is talking about Shemayim that has the word Rochev, we connect that to the other pasuk that talks about Rochev, and since that pasuk with Rochev mentions Aravos, so we know that Aravos is a Shemayim. And then we also explained after that, that these things, that darkness and clouds and other sorts of dark matters are surrounding God because we have a pasuk that basically says so. Okay, now the end of the second to last line. Umi'ika chashucha kamei shemaya says the Gemara. What? Darkness is surrounding God? That seems counterintuitive. You would think any good movie you saw that talks about anything holy, there's light associated with it. Why would darkness be surrounding God? Aksiv. Who amiksa umistarta yada ma b'chashucha v'nahora ame sharei. So he reveals the deep and mysterious. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with him. Right. So if light is going to be with God, then what do you mean darkness is surrounding him? So says the Gemara, no, lo kasha. No need to explain any of this because we could explain it all. Ha bevate gavai, ha bevate barai. So there is the inner heavens and the outer heavens. So the inner heavens, those, as Rashi explains, the first Rashi, v'nahura ameshara, that the inner heavens, that's filled with light. The outer heavens, that's filled with darkness, meaning the closer you get to God, that's when you're going to find the real light. Again, what does all this mean? Unclear. But the light is next to God, and the darkness that we say surrounds him, I guess, like, surrounds the outer area. Okay, fine. Right here in the Gemara, top, end of the first line on Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. V'amar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov Od Rakia Echad. Fine, so we had all those seven heavens, and Rav Acha Bar Yaakov says, I have an eighth heaven for you. Yesh Lamala Meroshe HaChayos. There's another heaven that's above the heads of the Chayos. So the Chayos are standing on one level, right? We just explained a second ago that they are on that seventh heaven, and so there's evidently another heaven on top of the Chayos, because Dichtiv it says V'demus Al Roshe HaChaya Rakia Ke'in HaKerach HaNora. That the likeness of a heaven is on the heads of the Chaya, that there's like a rakia that has some sort of like a color of awesome ice that's above them. Okay, again, I'm not sure what any of this means. But the point is, there was another rakia, another heaven that was above their heads. The Gemara says, fine, you explained thus far, you explained all these heavens and whatever, but you can't go any higher. Meaning you explained, basically, where, if you want to understand conceptually where we're at regarding picturing heaven, we're as high as we're going to get, but if we go any higher, then you're going to start talking about God and where he lives, and that's way beyond our capacity to comprehend, so you can't speak anymore. Shekin kasav b'sefer ben sira, because the Gemara is going to do something now, which we don't often do, but we do every now and again. So we're going to quote the book of ben sira. Ben sira is a fascinating topic in and of itself, and that is not part of Tanakh, but it's one of the books that was written in biblical times. In theory, it could have been added to Tanakh. Right, we always look at Tanakh as these holy and spiritually endowed books, and indeed that is the case. But there are other books that there was a question: do we include it in Tanakh? Do we not include it in Tanakh? Right, there was a meeting, there was a canon that the Chazal say we're going to close the canon now, and so Ben Sira almost made it in, but not quite. The proof that it didn't make it in is because we don't have it in our Tanakh now. But the proof that it was valued by Chazal is the Gemara quotes it every now and again. So we have Ben Sira quoted over here. And that it says b'mufla mimcha atidrosh, that which is like removed from you, so don't darshan that. So v'mechusa mimcha altachkor, and that which is sort of shielded or covered from you, so don't inquire further about that. B'mash horeshes hisponein, and that which is like blocked away, that which is like authorized, like shahorshis, like it's understandable. It's like within your realm. So his bonin, you can comprehend it. Ein lecha esek ministeros, and so, and you should not be involved at all in looking into like the secrets of the world. Okay, so in other words, right? So that which. Is within your realm, you can look into, and that which is not in your realm, you cannot look into. Okay, so Tanya, starting to brisa, Amar Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai, Ma teshuva hashivaso bas kol lo so rasha b'shashamar ele al b'masi av adama le'elyon. So you had Nebuchadnezzar, who made a crazy statement at one point. Nebuchadnezzar woke up one day and he said, I'm going to ascend over the top of the clouds. I will consider like liken myself to the Most High. So Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai says, what was the tshuva? What was the answer, the response that the Bas Kol gave to this Russia, this wicked guy over here, when he's made such a crazy statement that he's going to be at the level of Hashem? That's essentially what he was saying. So yes, the Bas Kol v'amra lo. Is a Bas Kol gave a very powerful statement, and again, this Gemara is going to be very interesting. If you ever wanted to know what heaven looked like and how big it was, this is the Gemara. So the Bas Kol says, "Russia ben Russia, wicked, wicked person, the son of a wicked person, ben beno shel Nimrod, you're the grandson of Nimrod HaRasha, shehimrid kol olam kulo alav malchuso, that he brought the whole world to rebel, like in his reign, that he brought everyone to like." Go against God. So kama shenosav shel adam shivim shana. The average lifespan, according to Chazal, right? The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos talks about this. 70 years is the average lifespan. Shenamar, that's what a full life is, right? That's where the custom comes from. That when someone turns 83, they have a second bar mitzvah. Shenamar, the pasuk says yimei shenosav bahem shivim shana. That the days of his years or within them are 70 years. Vim bigvorosh manim shana. And if you have like might in your years, then you live to the age of 80. V'halomina aretz ad l'rakia mahalach chamesh meos shana. So fine. So the average person lives till 70, and it would be amazing if you live till 80. So says the Bas Kol to Nebuchadnezzar, you'll be lucky if you live to 80. How long does it take to get from the ground on earth to get to the first level of heaven? It's a journey of 500 years. That's how long it takes. V'ovav shal rakia mahalach Chamesh Meos Shana. And the thickness of the Rakia itself, if you want to go through the entire heaven, the entire first heaven, it's another 500 years. V'chein bein kol Rakia v'Rakia. So not only is the journey from earth to the first heaven going to be 500 years, not only is the Rakia itself going to take you 500 years to journey, but to go from one rakia to the next is an additional 500 years of a journey. And for every single rakia, it's the same thing. Every rakia, every level of heaven is a 500-year journey to get through, and 500 years between that rakia and the next rakia. So basically, you're looking at, for every single level of heaven, 1,000 years to get, I don't know how fast they're moving, but 1,000 years to get from one level of heaven, from the ground of one level of heaven, to the next level of heaven. So you think you're so mighty, Nebuchadnezzar, you won't even reach the first level. It takes 500 years to get there. You only got 80 years on you. Lamala mehen, but let's not stop there. Above that, above all this, Chayos HaKodesh, above that top level, that's where the holy Chayos live. How big were the Chayos, to conceptualize, you know, their size? Ragle HaChayos Keneged Kulam. The feet, to travel the distance, to go up the foot of one of the chayos, is keneged kulam. It's the equivalent of all of the years we stated. So I'm not going to do the math right now, but 7 levels of heaven, approximately 1,000 years of journeying for each level of heaven, maybe a little more, plus 500 years from the ground to the heaven. So that's a few thousand years of journeying. So the foot of the chayos, which is above all that, is keneged kulam. All those years is how long it would take to go up the foot of the chayos. Karsule hachayos keneged kulan. Then you have the ankles of the chayos. To go up the ankles is keneged all of that. Shukei hachayos keneged kulan. The lower part of the legs of the chayos is going to be keneged all of that. Ruchuvei hachayos keneged kulan. The middle part of the leg is keneged all of that. Yarchei hachayos keneged kulan. The upper part of the leg, the thighs of the leg, I guess, are connected all of that. Gufei achayos connected kulan. The torso of the chayos are connected all of that. Savarei achayos connected kulan. The neck of the chayos are connected all of that. Roshei achayos connected kulan. And the heads of the chayos are connected all of that, which came previously. Karnei achayos, the horns of the chayos connected kulan are the size of everything that came before that. Lamala mehen kisei kavod. Above the chayos, which they'll take several thousand years, many thousands of years to get to the top of them, above them already is the Kisei HaKavod. Ragli Kisei HaKavod Keneged Kulan. The feet of this Kisei HaKavod is the size of all of the previous things combined. Kisei HaKavod Keneged Kulan. The Kisei HaKavod itself is Keneged everything that we just said already. And then Melech El Chai V'Kayam Ram V'Nisa Shochin Aleim. And then Hashem dwells upon that throne. V'Ata Amarta A'ale Al Bamasi Avadama Le'Elyon Ach El Shaul Torid El Yerka Sibor. So you, Nebuchadnezzar, you say you're going to go up there? You joking? Where are you going to go, Nebuchadnezzar? Only to the netherworld will you be lowered, to the bottom of the pit. That's where you're going to go, because you have no concept. You think you're going to go so high, you're such a Balgaiva, but you can't even comprehend the thousands upon thousands of years these journeys take. Again, what these mean, unclear. But the point is, it's very far out of reach for a human being, so you don't have a chance, Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, Akan, until there, we've been explaining various aspects of understanding how heaven works and what heaven looks like. We're now going to go into a slightly different realm, and that is we're going to speak about Maase Merkava. Maase Merkava, as you know, was mentioned in the Mishnah, and that's where we're going to pick up from. And what this is going to discuss is a whole new level of esotericism, and in particular, we're going to see a focus of the Psukim. At least in Amud Beis, we're going to see a focus of the psukim that come up in Yechezkel about Maase Merkava, just to make sure we're all on the same page. What Maase Merkava was some sort of a divine experience in which Yechezkel and Yeshaya, as we'll see, also had that experience. Some sort of a divine experience that is elaborately explained and gone into in Yechezkel, more so by Yechezkel than Yeshaya, which we'll explain in a little bit as well. But the point is that it's some sort of an experience in which they saw some kind of a chariot. The Merkava is a chariot, some sort of a chariot that was a divine representation of sorts. Again, what all it means, unclear. But we're going to learn about it as best as we can, as best as the Gemara enables us to. So, two dots. V'lo b'merkava b'yachid. One cannot teach about the story of a Merkava to a yachid, meaning it can't be a teacher and a student, unless the Mishnah says the student has the capacity to understand things on his own. If he has the capacity to understand things on his own, then seemingly you can teach him. Because the thought is that the teacher won't be able to explain everything, but the student will have to be able to learn the rest by himself, and we'll see exactly what that means in a little bit. So, Tani Rabbi Chia, Rabbi Chia taught, Aval Mosrin Lo Roshe Prakim. So what do we do? What can we teach this guy? What can we teach this person who wants to learn it, this one-on-one? So it's a little unclear exactly what he means over here, but the thought is that likely what he might mean is that we said in the Mishnah that you can only have a one-on-one if the guy who's being taught everything, if he can intuit things by himself, then you can go into in depth. But let's say the guy is not that smart; he can't intuit things; he's not on that level. So you still, according to Rabbi Chiya, you can be moser the Roshei Prakim. Like you can explain some of like the beginning concepts to him. Give him a 101 class, but not a 102 class. You know. So Amar Rabbi Zera ain moser in Roshei Prakim ela la'av beis. But then Rabbi Zera says, no. What are you talking about? You can only be moser. You can only give over the Roshei Prakim to an Av Beis Din, meaning someone who is pretty knowledgeable if he's going to be an Av Beis Din. And anyone who is like, what this means is like his, he's not going to become like very lightheaded. Like he's not going to be, he's an appropriate person, right? Someone whose heart worries within him is literally what it means. Meaning he's a seichel like a guy and he's not going to act inappropriate at any point. So according to Rabbi Zair, these are two different categories. Ika de Amri, or according to this first way of phrasing it, there are those who say who shall he bow doeg bekirbo. No, it's not an Av Beis Din and someone who is shalibo doeg bekirbo, but rather it's someone who is an Av Beis Din that is libo doeg bekirbo, that his heart worries within him. Amar Rabbi Ami ein mosrin sisre Torah ela lemisha yishbo chamisha devarim. So says Rabbi Ami, you can't give over the secrets of the Torah unless someone has five qualities. What are the five qualities? So we're going to mention them now, and we're not going to mention them, we're not going to explain them fully until next week. So what are the qualities? So Sar Chamishim, V'naso Panim, V'yoitz V'chacham Charashim, V'nevo Nachash. Right. So number one, he has to be a captain of like 50. He has to be a respected person. He has to be an advisor. He has to be a teacher of the wise, and he has to be someone who's able to like comprehend mysteries and things like that. Okay, v'amar Rabbi Ami ein mosrin divrei Torah lo'ovet kuchavim, and so says Rabbi Ami, you also can't give over Torah at all, divrei Torah, you can't give that over to a non-Jew. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, lo asakin l'kol goyim mishpatim ba yidum. Right, that God didn't do all of this, or that you shouldn't prepare any of this for the non-Jews, and the laws, they should not know them, so you can't teach Torah to a non-Jew. Amar le Rabbi Yochanan le Rabbi Elazar, tag marcha b'masa ha-merkava. So Rabbi Yochanan says to Rabbi Elazar, come and teach me ma'isa merkava. Right? So Rabbi Yochanan, he was a humble person, but he understood his capacity. We have this in a few situations with Rabbi Yochanan that I'm aware of, that Rabbi Yochanan will make comments that even though he was such a humble person, he understood where he was and what his capacity was. So Rabbi Yochanan understood that he was someone who would be able to learn this properly. So he tells Rabbi Elazar, teach me the Ma'aseh Merkabah, and it would be okay evidently to have a one-on-one situation. Amar Lei Lo Kashai. He says to him, no, you're not old enough to do it yet. Ki Kash, when Rabbi Yochanan got old enough, we had a problem. Nach Nafshei to Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan died. Ki Kash. So when Rabbi Yochanan got old enough, Nach Nafshei to... Wait, Amar Lei... I'm a little confused who's speaking to who over here. Okay, so it must be Rabbi Elazar speaking to Rabbi Yochanan. So he says, come teach me the Ma'aseh Merkava. He says, no, you're not old enough. Kikash, when he got old enough, Nach Nafshei de Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan passed away, so we couldn't learn from him. Amar Rabbi Yazi. Rabbi Yazi then said to him, Tav v'agamarcha b'Ma'aseh Merkava. He says, come teach me Ma'aseh Merkava now. Meaning, Rabbi Elazar now came to Rabbi Yazi and asked him to teach him Ma'aseh Merkava. Amar Lei, Izakai Gemirta me Rabbi Yochanan, Rebecha, so he says, if I do not merit to learn from Rabbi Yochanan, your teacher, then I can't go ahead and learn from you. So in other words, he was not able to learn Ma'aseh Merkava because he figured that if he never merited to learn from Rabbi Yochanan, that means that Hashem was telling him that he should not be learning it in general. Okay, Rav Yosef have a gemir Ma'aseh Merkava. So Rav Yosef was someone who was he was gemir. He was like well learned. He was proficient in Ma'aseh Merkava. Sabe de pumbadisa habu tanum b'masa bereishis. So the elders Of Pumbedisa, they were learning all about Maisa Bereishis. They learned all about it. And Amrule Ligmor Lan Mar Maasa Merkava. So after they learned like the secrets and all there is to know about Maisa Bereishis, they said to Rav Yosef, "Come and teach us Maisa Merkava." Amrulehu Agamrun Li Maasa Bereishis. So he says to them, "Okay, first you guys teach me Maasa Bereishis, and then I'll teach you Maisa Merkava." That's the implication. Basar de Agamrun. After they taught him Maisa Bereishis, they agreed to that. Amrule, they said to him, Ligamrun Marber Masim Merkava. They say to him, "Teach us Masim Merkava." Amrulehu Tanina Behu. He says to them, "You know, there's a teaching about this, that Devash v'chalav tachas l'shonecha, that honey and milk are under your tongue, meaning Devar hametukin midvash v'chalav yehu tachas l'shonecha. Anything that's as sweet as Devash and Chalav should remain under your tongue. In other words, I'm not going to teach it to you because some things are too sweet, too special to verbalize to someone else." That was his way of saying no. Rabbi Abahu Amar Mehecha. Rabbi Abahu has that same idea that some things you should not teach from a different pasuk, that it says, "Kivasim Kivasim Lilboshecha," like sheep or you know from your clothing. Devarim Shehin. Devarim Shehin Kivshono Shel Olam Yehiyu Tachas Lilboshecha. Things that are like mysteries of the world, they should remain under your clothing. Okay, so that's another way of saying don't reveal some things to other people. Amrule, they said to him, "Taninan behu, we've already learned parts of it. We've learned the brisos associated with Maisa Merkava, ad until the pasuk Vayomer Eli Ben Adam, that when God said to Yechezkel, you know, Ben Adam, that you son of man." Amar lehu hein hein ma'aseh merkava. So he says to them, these psukim, these final psukim of the first parak specifically, it's the first parak of Yechezkel psukim. I think chaf zayin and chaf ches. So he says these are the ma'aseh merkava psukim. And so meisvei ad heichan ma'aseh merkava. So the Gemara says, really, is that really the verse is the ma'aseh merkava, meaning you guys are saying that we want to learn Maisa Merkava, but you guys already learned Maisa Merkava. How do we know you learned Maisa Merkava? Because you learned until the beginning of the second parak, which includes Maisa Merkava. Misi, the Gemara says, really, is that Maisa Merkava? Adhecha Maisa Merkava. What do we consider Maisa Merkava? What is exactly the psukim of Maisa Merkava? Rabbi Omer, Rabbi Omer ad va'ira basra. So there, the word va'ira, which is the beginning of the second parak. So up until there, that's called Maisa Merkava. Rabbi Yitzchak Omer ad hachashmal. No, the word hachashmal, the word hachashmal in pasuk Chav Zayin in the first parak, including the word hachashmal, that's Maisa Merkava. So ad va'ira megamrinam. So until we get to va'ira, we can teach normally. Mikan ve'ilach masrinan roshei prakim. And from after there and onwards, Sorry. So in other words, what the Gemara was saying, so until these words, So ad va'ira megamrina, until we get to va'ira, you can teach normally. Meaning, until you get to pasuk chav zayin, you can teach normally. But mikan ve'ilach masrinim roshei prakim. After that, when you get to the actual meat and potatoes of ma'aseh merkava, you can only teach the roshei prakim, like the bullet points. Iga da amri ad va'ira masrinim roshei prakim. That until you get to ma'aseh merkava, until you get to those final two pasukim, you can teach the roshei prakim. Mikan ve'ilach, but from here and on out, imhu chacham yivin midato. If he's a chacham, he can understand it by himself. Ein ilo lo. In right, so then you can teach it to him. Elo, but if he can't understand by himself, then you can't teach it to him. Umi darshinan b'chashmal, and do we really darshan from chashmal? Right, chashmal is, in modern Hebrew, is electricity, but in the context of Yechezkel, it's not electricity. It's we'll explain in a little bit what chashmal actually is. V'haha hu yanuka darsh b'chashmal. There was some yanuka. There was some child who started darshaning the word chashmal. So don't tell me you can be darshaning chashmal, you can be darshaning that word, because there was a child one time who was darshaning it, and a fire came out I think from Chashmal itself, and consumed him. So says the Gemara, no. Shani Yanuka delav mate zimne. No, so this Yanuka is different because he reached his time. It was time or something like that. Amar Rav Yehuda baram zachor oso ha'ish l'tov. Right, and so in truth, there's someone who we remember for the good. V'chananya ben Chizkiya shemo, and his name is Chananya ben Chizkiya. We like Chananya ben Chizkiya because he did something special. What did he do? Ilmale hu nigna sefer Yecheskel shayu dvarav sosrin divrei Torah. He prevented Sefer Yecheskel from being put into hiding. Again, right, we spoke about this when we spoke about Ben Sira at the beginning of the Amud, but we always assume that Tanakh is Tanakh. Hashem told someone that these are the 24 books of Tanakh. Not true that it's so simple how to define what the books of Tanakh are. There were debates about certain books of Tanakh. Can they be included? Can they not be? So there was a whole tumult. Should we include the book of Yecheskel in Tanakh or not? So Chananya ben Chizkiya said we cannot put the book of Yecheskel into Geniza, but the argument was we should put it into Geniza because the words of Yechezkel contradict words of the Torah. Ma'asa, so what did he do? Ha'alu lo gimel meos garbe shemen. They gave him 300 barrels full of oil. That was evidently to keep the candles lit. The yashav ba'aliyah v'darshu, and he went up to the attic somewhere so he could have peace and quiet, and he darshan, he explained how these psukim in Yechezkel that are seeming contradictions from what we find in the Torah, they're not contradictions at all. He explained everything, and therefore he prevented the book of Yecheskel from being put away into Geniza. Okay, end of the third to last line. Tana Rabbanan, Maisa Betinok Echad, Shayakuri Bebes Rabo. So there was once a child who was learning in school, Besefer Yecheskel, in the book of Yecheskel, Vahaya Maven, Bechashmal, and he began thinking about, understanding, darshaning in a sense, what the word Chashmal means and what the implications of it are. Vyatza Ishmi Chashmal Vesarfa, and out came a fire from Chashmal and it consumed him. Ubikshu Lignos Sefer Yecheskel, and they said, we have to put away this Sefer. Could you imagine? We're going to have all these kids, we're going to have a pandemic. All these kids are going to start learning Yecheskel, everyone's going to die. You can't allow for such a thing. Amar Lehem, Chananya ben Chizkiya said, no, don't worry. An additional story, Chananya ben Chizkiya defending Yecheskel. Don't worry, you don't have to worry about this. Why? Because im ze chacham hakol chachamim hein. So clearly you had a very special kid over here. When you have a kid who is learning Yecheskel, and he can contemplate and understand the book of Yecheskel on such a deep level that he has to be consumed by the fire because he's understanding it on these higher levels, how often do you really have a kid like that? That's a once in a lifetime. That never happens. So it's unfortunate. This kid was able to learn on that level, so he was consumed. But in general, it's not going to happen, so don't put it into Geniza. Why doesn't that happen to an adult, right? An adult who is of such a level, why does he not have to worry about it? Because evidently, if an adult is able to understand it on whatever level he's able to understand it, he won't be consumed. It's only a child because he's such a young age. If he is able to understand it, even so, he still shouldn't do it. And if he does, then he would be consumed by the fire, but that's very uncommon. Okay, now, the last few words of the Amud. My Chashmal, what in the world is Chashmal? Meaning, Chashmal is some sort of a esoteric concept, but what is the word made up of, and how do we get such a word, and what is it talking about? So Amar of Yehuda said, top of Yud Gimel Amud Beis, Chayus Ish Mimalalos. It's referring to the word is a contraction of a few different words. It's referring to the chayus, that when they speak, like fire comes out of their words. Take a look at the top Rashi, that ish yotzei midiburan, that fire comes out of their words. Again, I don't know what that means, but I don't know, like they're like dragons, they breathe fire, something like that. But masnis etana, we taught on a brisa, itim chashos, itim mimalalos. There are times when the chayus are quiet, and there are times when they're speaking. Bishash dibur yotzei mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, at the time when Hashem is speaking, chashos, they're silent. Ubishash ein hadibur yotzei, and when Hashem is not speaking, she'ein hadibur yotzei mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu mimalalos. When Hashem isn't speaking, that's when they're speaking. Okay, now, what the Gemara is going to go into, sorry, just to go back and explain. So when we say chashmal, so one perspective is to say that the first explanation was that when the chayos speak, they're speaking fire, so it's a contraction of chet, shin, and mal in the word mamalalos. And according to the other perspective, that a chashmal is some sort of an allusion to the fact that they sometimes speak and they sometimes are silent. So that's a contraction of the words chash, chashos, and mamalalos, that chash and the mal. Okay. Now, So we're four lines into the Amud. So what the Gemara is going to now have an extensive conversation about is darshaning some of the psukim as they come up in this first parak, this first chapter of Yechezkel. We're only going to do a little bit more because we already have been doing a lot of heavy stuff. But we'll go through our first several lines of this Gemara. So let's jump in. The Achayus Ratzu Vashuv Kimareha Pabezek. The pasuk says that the chayos ran like back and forth, to and fro, like the appearance of the bezek. My ratzu vashuv. What does it mean that they ran back and forth, to and fro? Amar Rav Yehuda k'or hayotze mipia kivshan. So let's take a look at the Rashi. There's a lot of good Rashis over here that give us a good imagery. So the Rav Yehuda basically says that they're like going to and fro like a fire that comes out of the mouth of the furnace. Rashi top second Rashi on the top line. Ratzu vashuv. So they went to and fro. Motzios rashan mitachas harakia hanatoy lemala mereshehen v'chozros umachnisos osan mimora hashchina b'mehiros keritza v'shiva shalahav hayosim mipia bezek. You want to understand what the chayos are doing over here. We said that the chayos are like on this top level of heaven, and above them there's some other sort of heaven, the firmament. So and above that, and in that heaven, that seems to be the implication that Hashem is up there. So the chayos, what they do is they want to take a look at Hashem every now and again. So imagine like whack-a-mole. So they come up. They pop up and they see Hashem for a second. Their head pops through the clouds. They see Hashem or whatever that means exactly, and they get so terrified that they go back in, and they keep doing this. I guess there's lots of them. They go up and down, in and out. So when Yechezkel is describing what he saw, he seems like he's saying that he saw the chayos like jumping up and down, going in and out, like they were going to and fro. That's what it means. And take a look at the next Rashi in the fourth wide line over there. Hakivshan shesorfin bo avanim lasid. That you're burning stones for lime. Ubezek lashon shivrei shavarim hu. And bezek is some sort of a word that implies like broken shards. She or yotzei bein evin le'evin. That the fire comes out like through the holes. So in other words, just imagine like a barbecue, and you have coal underneath the grate, and so you have fire that pops through the coal. That's essentially what the image is over here. So when we say that they're going ratsu vashu, that they're going to and fro, it means that they kept popping their heads up and down, like you imagine, like a fire pops through on a furnace. My kimare habezek, what does it mean that like the appearance of the bezek? So again, Amar Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina k'or hayotze mibein hacharasim. Imagine you have a fire that's going, sticking out, popping through different shards of like pottery and the like. So the Rashi gives a whole explanation over here. We're not going to do it inside, but we'll do it outside. So imagine you're someone who wants to work with gold and like mold gold. So he puts the gold in some sort of a vessel that's on top of just imagine a grill to make things easier. So it's on top of the grill, and this vessel that's on top of the gold, on top of the grill, it has holes in it. So the fire would shoot through the holes, and it would be like different colors fire. So that's what it means. Like that fire would shoot through, and that's just like what the chayos would do. They would pop up and down. Okay, next pasuk. Very interesting to note, by the way. So the first pasuk we just darshened was from Yechezkel, the first parak, but pasuk Yud Dalet, 14th pasuk. Now we're going back, and we're going to do Yechezkel, the first parak, but the fourth pasuk. It's just interesting, we're going out of order. So the pasuk says, Va'ira v'hine ruach sa'ara ba'a min hatzafon anan gadol v'eish mislakechas v'noga lo saviv u'mitucha ke'ena chashmal mitoch ha'ish. So the pasuk says that I saw, and behold, there was a stormy wind coming from the north. The north meaning it was coming from Babel. A great cloud with flashing fire and a brilliance surrounding it, and from its midst, like the color of the chashmal, from the midst of the fire. So the Gemara says, where is we said the wind is coming from the north. Where was the wind going to? Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Shehalach Lichbosh Es Kol HaOlam Kulo Tachas Nevucha Netzer HaRasha. It was not like a literal wind per se, but it was like a metaphorical wind in a sense that was going out to the whole world to allow Nebuchadnezzar to conquer the whole world. the Kolkach Lama. What? Why did Hashem send out a wind to give Nebuchadnezzar the ability to conquer the world? Shelo yimru umas so'olam biyad umas shifla or shifala masar HaKadosh Baruch Hu espanav. Why? Because we don't want other nations to say that Hashem allowed the Jews to be conquered and attacked by this like lowly other nation. That would be like chutzpah dik to us. It's like a weird way of looking at it, but like it makes us look bad. It makes us look bad if we're conquered by a weak nation. It was meant to be, Hashem decreed, that Nebuchadnezzar was going to conquer us. And how sad would it look if we were conquered by like a nothing nation? So God says, Nebuchadnezzar, you're going to become very powerful. And in that power, you're going to conquer the Jews. But I'm giving you that power so that it won't look bad to the other nations when you conquer the Jews. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mi garam li she'eh yesh shameish lo'ovdei psilim. Hashem says, who caused it? Who caused it to be so? Who caused me to have to work for the non-Jews? Avonosein shel Yisrael hin garmuli. And Hashem answers himself. He's saying, it was the sins of the Jews that made me like an aid for the non-Jews, that I have to go help them now. Okay, another pasuk, and I think this is going to be the last pasuk in Yechezkel we're going to do today. But now this pasuk is already jumping around again. So now we're at Yechezkel Tetvav. That's 15. So that's basically the pasuk that comes right after the first one that we just did a few lines above. So va'ira hachayos v'hinei ofen echad ba'aretz etzel hachayos. That I saw the chayos, and behold, one ofan was on the earth, but with the chayos. So the vision is, this angel is like in two places at once. So how could it be of an angel that's in two places at once? Amar Rabbi Elazar, Malach Echad, this was one angel, Shehu Omid Ba'aretz, that he stood on earth, V'rosho Magia Eitzah HaChayos, and his head went up to the Chayos. That is a very, very tall angel, because remember, each one of the Rakios is 500 years of journeying, and the Chayos are all the way on the top, and this guy's all the way on the bottom. So this guy is like, he's very, very tall. It's a very tall angel. Okay, B'masnisa Tana, so it's Torah Nabraisa, Sandlafun Shemo. His name is Sandlafun. Hagavoa Mechaviro Mehalach Chamesh Me'oshana. He was 500 years taller, like a 500 years journey worth taller. In other words, these creatures are so tall that you can't talk in feet or miles. You have to talk in the amount of years it takes to get from one part of them to the next. Right? So he was so tall. He was taller than his friend. He was 500 years taller than any of his other friends. Ve'omid achorei merkava, and he would stand behind this chariot. Ve'kosher ksarim lekono, and he would like weave crowns for his maker, for Hashem. So the Gemara, what? Eini? Is this really true? Va'kasov baruch hu Hashem mimkomo, that blessed is the glory of Hashem from its place. Meaning, we don't know where God is. Miklal d'mikomo leka diadale. No one knows where God's place is, right? We understand on whatever level, we understand that God is, right? And we learn this in kindergarten. Hashem is here, Hashem is there. Hashem is truly everywhere. We don't really know God's place, what that means exactly. And that's what the pasuk says, that we bless God's glory in its place, because wherever it is, we just don't know. No one knows. Da'amar shem itka. So the question of the Gemara is how could it be that this angel, this son Lafun, how could it be that he is weaving crowns for Hashem? Where is he going to deliver them to? Does God have a P.O. box? How does he get it to him? So says the Gemara, no. Da'amar shem itka. He would say some sort of like a holy name to the crown. The Azul the Yasif Bereshe, and it was like a, I don't know, think of like any like Harry Potter thing. He would like enchant the crown with some sort of a holy name, and the crown would float over to God, to his head, on whatever level that means. Amar Rava Kul Shira Yechezkel Ra Yeshaya. So now the Gemara says, and we'll conclude with this piece over here. Rava says, anything that Yechezkel saw, Yeshaya also saw. So what the Gemara is addressing over here is, when you look in Yechezkel, we mentioned this story at the beginning, when you look in Yechezkel and his description of the Maaseh Merkava, it's very extensive and elaborate. When you look in Yeshaya, it's not as extensive and elaborate. So why is it that Yechezkel's vision was so much better than Yeshaya's? So the Gemara is saying, no, they actually both saw the same thing, they just described it differently. Why did they describe it differently? Lema Yechezkel Doma, what is Yechezkel comparable to? Leben Kfar Shira'es HaMelech. He's like a villager that sees the king, right? When someone who's living in the Pawtucket, Nowheresville, right? So I shouldn't use that because I know someone lives there. So someone living in Oshkosh, right? A really randomville, they see the President of the United States. Whoa. Yes, I remember I was there, the limos, the hundreds of thousands of cars, whatever it is. So Yeshaya is like a city dweller who saw the king. Ah, a city dweller sees the king, not as impressive. He's around royalty all the time. Yeshaya, his uncle, was a matzia. Matzia was a king, so he was around royalty all the time. So he wasn't as impressed. Still impressive, but it's a different level of impressiveness than Yechezkel might have seen it as. So anyway, so that was a very, very complicated Amud. It only gets more complicated from here in terms of its esoteric ideas, but we will, God willing, make it through. So we'll stop with here, and God willing, next week, we'll be right back here, back again. But for now, wishing everyone a beautiful night.